Welcome to Tardi Mecha, Nachiomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Chet, Chapter 8. The scene we see before us as Perek Chet begins is that of Yecheskel sitting in his home with a group of Zekinim. But before we know it, God's hand is upon Yecheskel, and the Navi sees a vision of God. God ensconced in some form of fiery glow. Above and below his waist, some sort of fiery glow. Next, Vayishlach Tavniyad, Yecheskel describes God stretching out a tavni, an image of a hand, toward him. Vayikacheni b'tzitzit roshi, picking him up by his hair. Vatisauti ruach bein ha'aretz uvein ha'shabayim, suspending him between sky and land. Where is our Navi on his way to? V'taveoti Yerushalayma b'mharot Elokim. The spirit, the vision of God, carries him to Yerushalayim. We are about to vicariously join Yecheskel on a tour of Yerushalayim. The tour will be a virtual one. No need to buckle your seatbelt. What is Yecheskel likely to see in the city of Yerushalayim? The city of Yerushalayim is a city associated with holiness. But what Yecheskel will see in Yerushalayim is anything but holiness. On this tour, Yecheskel will encounter something very unsettling. He will be shown four scenes, each depicting Avodah Zarah being worshipped right within the confines of the Mikdash. His vision will be a bird's eye view, which will include not only the current happenings in Yerushalayim, but actions that span the entire timeline of its history. Yecheskel will be shown an idol, described as jealousy-inducing, graven images with 70 worshiping elders, women worshiping the Tammuz, and 25 men worshiping the sun. The tour will not only be factual and informative. God is tour guide, so to speak, will include his commentary. Let the tour begin. Entering from the Tzafon, northern-facing gate, Yecheskel is shown something called Esemel Hakina V'Hamakneh, an idol referred to as a symbol that arouses jealousy, presumably the jealousy of God. On the right to the next stop, God provides some commentary. He turns to Yecheskel and asks him, Haroeata Mahimosim, Toivok Gdolot Asher Beit Yisrael Osim Po. Do you see what I see? Do you see the great Toivot, the great abominations of the nation? It almost seems like the goal of these people is to distance themselves from my Mikdash. Before Yecheskel can even answer, God tells him something more, something which becomes a sort of refrain of the parak. You will yet see greater toivot, greater abominations than this. Kind of like, you've seen nothing yet. Things get much worse from here. Next, Yecheskel is shuttled over to his next stop, to the Chatzir, the courtyard of the temple. This time, there is some archaeology involved. Yecheskel is told to start digging, Chator Nabakir. His job is to enlarge an existing hole in the wall. Once the hole is large enough, Yecheskel is told to peer through it. And the live report from Yecheskel is, Va'er'eh, V'hideh kol tavnit remes u'behema sheketz v'chol piulei Beit Yisrael mechukeh al hakir. I have sighted images of animals and insects engraved into the wall in the form of Avodah Zarah. Not only does Yecheskel see these graven images, but God shows him something more. V'shiv im ish mi ziknei Beit Yisrael, 70 zikanim, 70 elders, v'ya'azan Yahu ben Shafan umed b'tocham, including even Ya'azan Yahu from the prestigious and illustrious family of Shafan. V'ish miktarto biyado, v'yatar ayan ha'ketoret. These Akanim are holding ketoret, incense, in their hands in the service of Avodah Zarah. God confides in Yecheskel, so to speak, and tells him, Hara'ita ben Adam, asher ziknei Beit Yisrael osim b'choshech, ish b'chadrei maskito. Have you seen what these Akanim of Israel are doing in the dark? You should only see what sins they perform in the privacy of their rooms. Kiyomri, Ein Hashem ro'eh otanu, azav Hashem et ha'aretz. God provides his commentary on this matter, explaining to Yecheskel that these sinners must think that I, God, don't see them. They must think I left the land. And then, on the way to the next stop, we again hear the refrain, O tashuv tere toivo kudolot asher hemalasim. You've seen nothing yet. The toivot that they perform only get worse. At the next stop, this time the northern gate of God's house, God shows Yechezkel a vision of a group of women crying in the service of an idol referred to as the Tammuz. And again, God says, O tashuv tere toivo kudolot me'ele. The abominations in the temple only get worse. The final stop is the inner courtyard, where Yechezkel is shown approximately 25 men. The men face their backs to the Heichal, to the holy part of the temple of all things. Achorehem el Heichal Hashem. These men face east as they worship the sun. Ufnehem kedma vehimam mishachavim kedma lashemesh. After this last scene, God comments to Yechezkel, Vayomer Eli, Haraita ben Adam, hanakel avet Yehuda miasot et hatoevot asher asupo? Have you seen how natural it seems for the nation, the house of Yehuda, to perform these toivot, these abominations which they've done, right here in the temple walls? So there are a few things we may be wondering about at this point. First of all, what is God's purpose in showing Yechezkel all of these avodah zarah abominations? And what exactly is it about the avodah zarah that categorizes it as a toiva, an abomination? And then, of course, we want to know, what does God mean by these words that he keeps on repeating to Yechezkel at each juncture? You will see greater toivot yet. Let's start with the last of these questions. What does God mean when he says you will see greater toivot? Is that repeating phrase meant to be understood as a euphemism, a manner of speaking? Or is there actually something more egregious going on with each successive avodah zarah that Yechezkel has shown? In other words, is there something of an ascending order or severity here? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Let's begin by pondering the location of the idol worship. If we paid attention, we may have noticed that the four scenes seem to be mentioned in ascending order, at least in terms of proximity to the Heichal. With each of the avodah zarah sins, Yechezkel on his tour gets closer and closer to the Mikdash, starting from the Semel HaKinah and the Biyah in the entryway, to the worship of images hidden behind a wall in the Mikdash, to the worship of the Tammuz in the entrance of the gate to the house of God. Finally, the last one was performed right at the entrance to the Heichal, the temple itself, with the backs of the men facing the Heichal, the holiest place of all. At least in terms of their proximity to the Mikdash, the toivot do get worse and worse. Because, of course, the closer to the source of holiness one sins, the more egregious the act. Okay, so the toivot that God shows Yechezkel in some way do seem to increase in severity. Let's spend a moment pondering what this parak calls avodah zarah, a toiva. This term has a long history to it. The word toiva is the term used in Vayikra Yudchah, which we read at Mincha on Yom Kippur. There, toiva is used to describe the many forbidden promiscuous relationships. They run gamut, from intimate relationships with animals to those with parents and siblings. The common denominator there is that these are all perverse acts outside the purview of normative behavior. In Sefer Devarim, Perek Daled, when God enumerates the sins of avodah zarah that could get the nation thrown out of the land, there too, avodah zarah is referred to as a toiva. Toiva there seems to add avodah zarah to the list of things that we should view as perverse. In other words, God sees avodah zarah as not merely bad, but actually perverse. Could you think of anything more perverse than worshiping other gods? The avodah zarah the Yechezkel has shown is all the more perverse because it is flagrantly performed right in Yerushalayim, in the vicinity of the Mikdash, even in the Heichal, the temple itself, the place where God's Shekhinah is meant to dwell. That is a toiva of the greatest proportions. Perhaps understanding this concept of toiva better can also help shed light on another question we raised. Why is it so important for God to take Yechezkel on this tour of the Mikdash at this point? Let's think. Where are we in the timeline of history at this point? Well, Yechezkel and many of the important members of society have been exiled to Babel. It won't be long before God will be destroying the Mikdash. So this is a crucial time for Yechezkel to see for himself the state of affairs in Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. If Yechezkel can see the harsh reality firsthand, he can begin to understand why it is that God is bringing about this destruction. God wants Yechezkel to experience the propensity, intensity, and flagrancy of the toivot, the avodah zarah sins of the people. This tour that God takes Yechezkel on, complete with commentary, might be God's way of helping Yechezkel come to terms with the reality. It will help him realize that by engaging in these toivot, the people have lost their claim to the land, yielding exile and destruction. Almost as a natural consequence, the people of Yefeskel's time will be kicked out of the land. The Beit HaMikdash may still be physically there during Yefeskel's time, but the behavior right in the Mikdash is behavior that can't coexist in the land, and certainly not in the Mikdash, the holiest place of all. There is one more subtle way in which this virtual tour teaches Yechezkel that the people have reached their limit on the land, that exile and destruction seem inevitable, and that is the use of language and terminology borrowed from Devarim Perek Daled, the text that enumerates the myriad forms of Avodah Zarah to watch for when entering the land. I'm talking about words like Semel, Tavni, Mishtachaveh, and Shemesh. All these words in Yechezkel have their first roots in Perek Daled and Devarim, where the people are first warned about the kind of idolatrous practices that could eventually force them from the land. The message to Yechezkel might be something like this. I warned the people about all these Avodah Zarah acts before I brought them into the land. But look, they didn't listen. See how they're acting? Exactly how I told them not to act back in Devarim Perek Daled. The very idol worship sins the nation was warned about in Devarim are the idol worship sins that Yechezkel sees on his virtual tour. In Devarim, the words Semel, Tavni, Mishtachaveh, Shemesh are all mentioned as a deterrent. If you worship these gods, you won't be able to stay in the land because I'm a jealous god, a god of fire. When we see the words associated with Avodah Zarah Devarim, those words are mentioned just by way of warning, as part of a reminder to keep the brit, the covenant God made with us. But in Yechezkel, we see these words Semel, Tavni, Mishtachavim, Shemesh, and Makneh in quite the opposite context, in the description of the deleterious acts of the people. And therefore, through the mere use of language borrowed from the idolatry warnings in Devarim, the text in Yechezkel is conveying a stark warning that the consequences spelled out in Devarim are looming over the nation at this time. There are a couple more points to ponder connecting the Avodah Zarah of the kings of Israel and the Avodah Zarah described in our parak. First, I'd like to take you back to God's words in Pasuk Yitzayin after the last vision he showed Yechezkel. If you recall, God says to Yechezkel, Haraita hanakel b'it Yehuda me'asod et ha'doei vod eilu? Have you seen how nakel, how easy it is for the people to perform these toivot, these abominations, from the word kal, kuflamet? The sense here is that the idol worship toivot are kind of like second nature to the people. The word hanakel only appears one other time in Tanakh. Interestingly, that occurrence is also in connection with Avodah Zarah. Similar to our parag in Malachim Bet, Paragal of Pasuk Yud Zayin. The psukim there describe how easy, how second nature it is for King Ahav to continue in the idol-worshipping ways of Yerevam. Yerevam, famous for Avodah Zarah, was the first to create bamo, places of worship, outside of the Mikdash. Using the word hanakel to take us back to Ahav and the original idol-worshipping King Yerevam may be a way of reminding Yechezkel of the ease with which the nation has worshipped other gods throughout history, dating back all the way to the sins of Yerevam. Once again, reminding Yechezkel and us that the destruction has been long in coming. There is another king who, according to Chazal, is associated with the Semel HaMakneh, that first jealousy-arousing symbol the Yechezkel saw when he started his tour. Chazal tells us that the idol the Yechezkel saw, described as Semel HaMakneh, the symbol of jealousy, is the very same idol that Menashe, the evil king who brought Avodah Zarah back into vogue, brought into the area of the Mikdash. Here's how they reached this conclusion. That word Semel appears only two other times in Tanakh. One is a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Daled, Pen tashchitun v'asitem lachem pesel tzmuna kol Semel. But the word Semel is also found in Divrei Hayamim. The context of the word Semel, Divrei Hayamim, is the story of the evil king Menashe, son of Chizkiyahu, bringing Avodah Zarah into the area of the Mikdash. The words there, Vayasem et pesel ha-semel asher asa b'veta Elokim. Menashe put the idol symbol that he made in the house of God. Because this word semel is rarely used, Chazal surmise that this semel that Menashe brought into the Heichal was the very same semel ha-makneh that Yechezkel is being shown in our parak. Perhaps here too, God is making the point to Yechezkel that his jealousy about these sins of Avodah Zarah has been aroused a long time ago. The sins of Avodah Zarah date way back to the times of Menashe, and even earlier to the times of Yerevam. The toivot of Avodah Zarah, which the nation was warned against even before they entered the land of Israel, have evolved over a long period of time. And because of these acts, right in the Beit HaMikdash, the place of God's presence on earth, eventually God has no choice but to destroy the temple and exile the nation. As a result of acts of Avodah Zarah, such as the four scenes that God shows Yechezkel and Arpachshad, God's Shekhinah, as well as his edifice, are on their way out of the land. Exile and destruction are looming. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishma, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.